item number 10 from the Office of the Sheriff submitting an informational report regarding the execution of a contract with G4S Wackenhut for bailiff services in Milwaukee County courtrooms. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Mr. Chairman, the supervisors, the item before you is basically concerning part-time bailiffs. And a little bit of background to help understand why we've entered into this emergency contract. In the 2012 approved budget, basically part-time bailiffs was one of the items that was included in the approved budget. As the committee is aware, there have been significant issues with the Deputy Sheriff's Association as far as how many bailiffs would remain, how many deputy sheriffs would remain in the sheriff's office. After numerous court appearances and so forth, the final number has now come to light. Unfortunately, the sheriff has had to lay off 48 deputies based on the county executive's budget, and therefore that has now put us in a situation where those part-time bailiffs become an essential part of our organization. So in order to move this along quickly, what we've done is entered into an emergency contract with G4S. I will state that Mark Schaefer, if you have specific questions for G4S, is in the audience as their general manager. He's here today if those questions arise. Of course, we also, Mr. Preeby, can answer any of the fiscal questions that would arise from this. Basically, what this contract will do, it has a 45-day out clause if necessary to cancel. We are looking at, in the future, near future, doing an RFP process to open this up to any other vendors that might be interested. The other issue is that on such short term, and having just gone through the layoff of our deputies, that the human resource possibility, that is as far as county employees being hired and going through the process and the background process and so forth, would not be quick enough, if you will, or expeditious enough to get us the help that we currently need. One plus with G4S is that they have the ability to hire individuals with previous law enforcement backgrounds that have gone through law enforcement standards board training, as well as they can provide the additional training specific to the courtrooms, which of course our training division will be involved with as well. So at this particular time, our informational report goes through that the necessity of having these part-time bailiffs join our organization, at least on the emergency basis, and then as the process moves forward with the RFP, in the future, near future, we'll be submitting the results of that particular plan. Thank you.
Inspector, in as much as this is an emergency declaration, and you intimated the fact that 48 deputy sheriffs have been laid off, but process being what it is, it's not as if they could immediately, if they wanted to, assume those positions. How long do you think this contract would be in effect?
Mr. Chairman, supervisors, the timing on this is, I would say, 2 to 3 months minimum in order to get an RFP published, to get it out to vendors, to have submissions done, to go through the process of reviewing that and then making a final submission, getting it to the board for approval. So I would state a minimum of 2 to 3 months.
With respect to G4S, does G4S have the names of these deputies? Do they already have people on a list that they can use? I'm trying to understand what's going on.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, G4S, and again, Mark Schaefer is here, he can speak to that, has had advertising out. All of our deputies that were laid off They have all of their names, so if they're interested, they certainly can make application. I don't know if they specifically contacted them, but of course, they're certainly eligible. They would certainly fit the criteria, and we would look forward, if that's the case, to seeing them come back.
Thank you, Inspector. Before I get to the individuals who have submitted cards for testimony, any questions? Committee members, Supervisors Biddle and Brown.
I will go by seniority.
Well,
I'm getting respect.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I simply would be interested in the court's, the judiciary's response to this initiative, if it's timely to offer that at this point. Obviously, it's going to have impact on them. The level of training, all of that, I think, is part and parcel of what this speaks to.
Thank you, Supervisor. Court Administrator Bruce Harvey, would you come forward, sir? Supervisor Broderick is prompted my calling you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bruce Harvey, the District Court Administrator. The Chief Judge was here earlier. Unfortunately, he had a commitment over at Marquette and had to leave. Therefore, he has provided me his comments on this particular subject, and with your permission, I'll read them. Just in preface, there is the authority for the sheriff to depute, I used to think it was deputized, but depute an individual to provide coverage, in this case, in the courts. And the Chief Judge has seen that letter of authorization, which is referenced in the Chief Judge's remarks from the Sheriff's Department. And the Chief Judge's remarks are, I am concerned about two aspects of this contract. The letter of authority should clearly indicate that the hourly bailiffs have the same authority in the courtroom that current deputy sheriffs have, including arrest powers. I've seen a draft of that letter, and it indicates that it does indicate that. Secondly, I'm concerned that this is just the beginning. My understanding of the budget provision is that it was to be allowed for shift relief only, that is, the hourly bailiffs. My concern is that next year someone will increase this number. I believe that this will raise serious public and courtroom safety issues due largely to the lack of consistency of Sheriff's Department personnel. And this is a matter of serious concern, and this will only exacerbate the situation. And I'd be glad to answer any questions as much as I can on the subject.
Well, that was the first thing that occurred to me. And I come from something of a law enforcement background many years ago. To have rent-a-cops protecting our judiciary, I think, is a very bad idea. And if the sheriff thinks this is a good idea, and if this is ultimately implemented, I hope he is willing to stand responsible for the consequences.
Thank you, Supervisor. Anyone else?
Not for the Chief Judge.
Yeah, any further comments, Mr. Harvey?
No.
Supervisor,
can we get a copy of the Chief Judge's? Do you have a copy of the statement?
Or could you have
I would be glad to write them up and submit them to the committee.
Could you have a tight report?
I will do that.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Supervisor Weishaupt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Where is, can we have somebody from the Deputy Sheriff's Office?
We have President Roy Felber, we have Mr. Norbert Gedemer?
Nor Gedemer, he's our trustee. Uh-huh. Our treasurer, I apologize.
Mr. Gedemer?
Yes.
Morning, Chairman. Morning, Supervisors. I just have a couple brief things before I turn it over to Mr. Gedemer. I find it funny how we're using the emergency clause in the sheriff's letter, County Ordinance 32.28, to sign a contract with Wackenhut this quickly and give them the inside door to these part-time positions. I do not know what the emergency is on why they couldn't follow 3.25 on the RFP process. I understand Inspector Schmidt said it was an emergency. They had to get someone in. Human resources couldn't go through the background quick enough. The laid off 48 deputies. Well, of the laid off 48 deputies, 20 of them were bailiffs. So why do you have to do a background check of people that were already bailiffs? The other question I have is, if it was such an emergency and they couldn't do background checks, why do we have 8 of them that have been hired as COs that start this Saturday, and we have 5 that are starting as juvenile correction officers within the county? HR went pretty quick to hire them. To say we need a background check of people that already did the job, and I'll let Mr. Gettermer talk about it more in depth, but you want to give a contract to Wackenhut for 12 people at $1.3 million. He will go over the numbers for you, but from your own comptroller, our deputies come to about $90,000 with benefits per deputy per year. So going from their numbers, it is a lot cheaper to keep our people already in those positions. And if they're part-time, I do not know why there is not a reason to bring them back in those part-time positions when they've already done the job. You don't need the training. They're doing it as they were up to February 5th. I also find it funny how it's not even, the ink hasn't even dried on the layoff papers. It's been less than a month, and here we are asking for private security to take over in the courthouse. I, along with the chief judge, am wondering, where does this go from here? Now, you're laying off people that were doing the job, and now you're putting people in those positions. Was this the plan all along? I can turn it over to Mr. Gettermer. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chairperson, fellow supervisors, Norb Gettermer, treasurer of the Deputy Sheriff's Association. I'm going to talk on just a few subjects regarding this proposal. And one of them is the position of the MDSA in terms of advocating for the members of the association. We're obligated to help protect our employees' right to recall. A contract was just entered into just a little over 2 months ago that guarantees the right of our employees to have recall up to 6 years in one day. I understand that this is a budget item that was put in as part-time positions, but the county at no time offered the association an attempt to negotiate for those part-time positions. It's interesting that during the same budget hearings that created those part-time positions, we were negotiating a contract, and somehow that item never came up on the table. As the spokesperson for the chief judge stated, the part-time positions are for shift covering and in shortage on shifts. At no time has the sheriff's department come to us and said, what can we do about this? Those are things that have to be done. The last time that Milwaukee County went down the road of having emergency appointments, and with Wackenhut, as a matter of fact, was with the security officers that guard the doors. And after a couple years of litigation, it came back that you had to hire those people back, pay them back pay, because proper procedures weren't followed. In terms of being an emergency, the quickest way to resolve this emergency is to simply bring back the people that were laid off a month ago. Not even a month ago. Those people are ready to go. They're trained. They know the jobs. In some cases, they could be put back in the courtrooms they came from. That's the fastest way to handle this. If that wasn't done because there's not money in the budget for that, there's still deputy sheriffs that are working in the South facility and the Central facility that are being utilized in non-traditional, because we've had deputy sheriffs in there. but we've also evolved from that, and they could be utilized in the court system. The next is the financial aspect of it, and with Supervisor Biddle's permission, I'd like to pass out these. And if you can just follow along. When the Sheriff's Department entered into this contract with Wackenhut, the amount they have listed is $1,387,360. That's for 12 and a half FTEs. Now, I don't know what their overhead cost is and how that goes into that, but if you just divide that by 12, that's just shy of $111,000 a position. Now, the numbers we received October 19th from your labor director, Fred Bau, indicate that the annual cost of a deputy sheriff, based on the wage, health care, average overtime included, FICA, and pension, was $91,431. And with the concession on the pension, that brings it down to $87,531. That's a savings of $23,400 per position. Considering we're 2 months into the year, and we're talking about bringing back deputy sheriffs for 10 months as opposed to 12, that brings the cost of those deputies all the way down to $73,000 to bring them back for the remainder of 2012. You can hire back 19 deputies at $72,000 for that $1,387,360. And that doesn't include the cost of having to advocate for those rights of recall, which we're obligated to do, and then you'll be obligated to obviously present the contradictory argument. What we're asking you to do is essentially look at these numbers. Look at the numbers that's been provided to you by the Sheriff's Department. Look at the numbers provided to you by us and through your own labor director, I might add. And see where your numbers come out. Crunch the numbers. And if they're different, by all means, give them to me, because I have a contract to negotiate in 10 months, and I need the real numbers. And if Fred didn't give them to me, I need them. But I have no reason to believe that the numbers provided by Fred Bau just 4 months ago aren't legitimate numbers. So, in closing, I think you owe it to the deputies that served the county for almost 10 years to, at the very least, postpone a decision on this and look at the situation and make as much of an informed decision as possible. There are other alternatives to simply handing out almost $1.4 million in a contract to Wackenhut. He can move deputies out of the jail, out of the south facility, and he can bring these other deputies back. If the money's there, that's what it should be utilized for. If you have any questions?
Mr. Geddon?
Yes.
Mr. Geddon, with respect to your contract and the recall rights of deputies, 6 years and one day, what is supposed to happen according to that contract right now as relates to those who were laid off? And the fact that these bailiff's positions are there and need to be filled.
It's my understanding that any time the number allocated increases, the most senior person of those laid off is offered a recall to come back. That's regardless of whether they've taken a position with the South Facility or with the Children's Court Center. And then they simply come back to work. I don't know exactly what the HR procedures are, but if it's an emergency, I'd like to think they could streamline it a bit. It was easy enough to walk them out the door. I'd like to think that it's fairly quick to bring them back in.
Thank you, sir. Any questions? Any comments? Supervisor Church? Good Supervisor Bill.
Well, this, as I understand it, is an emergency declaration and is just a report to this board. I don't believe there's an action before us. Am I correct in that regard? I see Mr. Grady's shaking his head yes. This is within the purview of the sheriff managing his department. Am I correct in that regard, Mr. Grady?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, yes. The sheriff has rather broad authority in this area in terms of his duty to attend upon the courts, and it's been confirmed in court cases, specifically a court case in Brown County that indicated that he had the right to contract out for the services of the Brown County Sheriff. So the sheriff does have that as well authority. I'm not prepared, as I sit here today, to deal with the collective bargaining arguments, but he does have very broad authority.
Okay, and I understand that, Mr. Grady, I do hope your office will look at the numbers. First of all, I will move that we make this an informational report for the board so everyone sees this. But I guess what supervisors can do is use the bully pulpit, if you will, to state what we think about this action. I want to point out a couple things. Inspector Schmidt indicated this was the county executive's budget. This was the county executive's budget reacting to the governor's budget. It was $55 million from the governor that caused these layoffs. So let's make that clear. We're hearing criticism that the sheriff did not talk to the deputies union regarding this part-time issue. It was the governor's action to preserve this union. So the sheriff is not following what the governor put in place. So I want to make those two criticisms very clear. I also think it is incorrect for the sheriff to be using lieutenants, as I understand it, in correctional officer positions.
Captains.
Captains in correctional officer positions. And then propose something like Wackenhut, GS4 Wackenhut, for temporary bailiffs. That is an action that is very imprudent, and I'm willing to stand up and say so. I think this is the sheriff showing he's not going to cooperate. And if he wants to continue to blame this board and to blame the county executive, I'm going to continue to point out that it was the governor that gave us $55 million cut that we reacted to, and it was the governor that left in place the deputies union. Now, I'm not criticizing the deputies union. The deputies came forward and took significant benefit cuts at the time of the budget. I give them credit for that. But the sheriff is not working with you. And it's obvious to me that if there's this kind of money available for him to do temporary contracts, to bring in temporary bailiffs, which the chief judge is indicating some objection to, it's obvious to me that he could work within his own budget and bring some of those deputies back that have been laid off due to the governor's budget. Thank you. That's as much as I can say.
Supervisor Bittle or Supervisor Broderick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that we've done a disservice not having HR here to talk about why the process has been so slow to bring back some of the 48 laid-off deputies and put them in these positions that they already have the expertise. They passed checks and things of that nature previously being employed here. Why couldn't they just fill in these gaps? You know, this is another situation where there is a simple and efficient solution to a problem that has not been taken, because it's become obvious to me that the sheriff has used this whole cutting of the deputy of his staff to give another contract to Wackenhut. That's all this has been about. It's been nothing more about political theater to once again use his broad authority as a constitutional officer to give another contract to Wackenhut. And so he gets on TV and he writes his press releases and he does his grandstanding to talk about, I don't have any money, poor deputy sheriff is being laid off. And when you have the ability to work with the deputy sheriff's union, when you have the ability to work with HR to find a way to streamline, bring these guys back, you subvert that process. Other processes that you have at the time with other deputy sheriffs and other departments to bring them back to do bailiff positions, and you go right behind and give an outsourced contract to Wacken. I think that's outrageous. And I think it's disingenuous to use those 48 individuals as pawns to a game to give Wackenhut a contract. I mean, and you couldn't convince me. I don't care if you were a snake charmer. You couldn't convince me that this is not what it's all been about. Because I think it's cruel. I really do. I do. I think it's ridiculous that we do all this. We have all these fights about all these cuts. And as my colleague said, not one time has he criticized the governor. Not one time. Is he scared of the governor? Is he scared to criticize the governor? So we come here. County exec does what he does. And you know, we didn't always agree. But he did what he had to do. We did what we had to do to try to work with the Deputy Sheriff's Union, put back some folks, alleviate the cuts a little bit. You come make a parade of this for months, all to come back to this committee to get a contract to Wackenhut. This is ridiculous. And so for us to be in a position where we can't manage what he's doing because of his authority, you know, I mean, what can we do? I mean, I won't be here, you know, in the next cycles, but we need to find a process, and we need to put some pressure on the sheriff's office to bring back those guys. There is not a shortage of people in this county who need work. Not at all. And if HR, I'm not trying to tell them how to do their jobs, but if the sheriff's office did put place a good faith effort to try to bring people back, you know, internally, that's way too long, considering the options that we have available to us to fill these positions. And so we really need to streamline our processes. I thought that's what we were doing. We were realigning all these departments so that we can have a more efficient, you know, process to get people in place in these positions in these different departments so they can serve our constituents. But I just think that it's incredible. And I marvel at his audacity to come here, make all of this grandstand, all of this performance, to give a contract away to Wackenhut. And so now it calls me to question, does the sheriff have some financial interest with G4S Wackenhut? I mean, because I'm at a loss here. Because if he was being very responsible with his resources, he could have easily found another way to get this done with those 48 that were laid off. But he did not do that. That's not what I'm hearing. So unless you can tell me different, or Inspector, my good friend Inspector Schmidt can tell me different, I'm appalled at this. And you guys are lucky that you're hiding behind your constitutional authority, because if you brought this to me, I would vote no for it based off that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Did you want to ask them, Supervisor Rip?
You know, I would, but I know what I'm going to hear. I know what I'm going to hear. So I just want to be on record for saying that I'm disappointed that in HR that we couldn't streamline the process to get those laid off deputies back into action, back into work, to provide the services needed to protect our judges. And I'm just appalled at the nature of giving this contract to Wackenhut. Like, that's your immediate, that's the most politically expedient thing that you can do, is find another way to give Wackenhut a contract. And that's what it's all been about. And so you can tell me different. I'll nod my head and say thank you. But my personal belief is that the Sheriff Clark purposely just wanted to find ways to outsource more county money to a private entity. And so I'm off my soapbox for the moment.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisors Broderick, Wyshon, and Cesar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Sheriff generally does not appear before us, and I tend to have sympathy for the surrogates that he sends to represent a point of view that I think there's too much intelligence there to believe that they share necessarily entirely in his judgment. So I think I want to make clear that I make that distinction. This initiative, for me, raises very serious questions about whether our community's safety needs, our jurors, our jurists, people in our courtrooms and throughout the course of time are being served, or if instead what's being served is the political ends of the sheriff himself. And I think he needs to be reminded that petulance is simply not the basis for good operational decisions and initiatives like this.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Washington?
Thank you. Actually, I don't have any questions for the Deputy Sheriff's Association. So thank you. But I would like the Sheriff's Office to come up and answer some questions with this. And Mr. Chairman, at this time, I'd also like to make an official request that you ask that the Director of Human Resources, Ms. Carrie Mitchell, come to our committee, because honestly, I don't believe the accusations that are being made about her department not being able to fill these positions, and I would like her to come here and explain to this committee, especially if you know, the accusations against her and her department are going to be made by the Sheriff's Department. So, what I'd like to point out for my colleagues, this isn't a done deal, and I my direct message to the Sheriff's Office is you're not going to contract out these positions to Wackenhut. Don't waste your time, because we're not contracting out, we're not privatizing these, because you're not going to get the fund transfer. You can sit in the back and smirk all you want, but the fact is you have a personnel line item and you have a contract line item, and we're not going to make the fund transfer. Go ahead, do your contract, run a deficit, and we'll be glad to hang that deficit around the sheriff's neck when he wants to run for office. There's a way to fix this problem by having people sit around the table and call back the deputies, along with working with human resources to fill those positions. So yeah, there's a process for this. And I would like to know, and somebody needs to explain to me from the sheriff's office here, who declared the emergency and under what conditions prompted this? Because I didn't hear anything from the chief judge excuse me, saying that there was an emergency in the courts. So what was the cataclysm that took place that required a declaration of an emergency?
Supervisor Weish, I think, Mr. Gettemer, you wanted to make one more comment before you left, and then I'm going to ask you to leave the table.
Okay, thank you. The comment I want to make is that there was a provision made that perhaps Wackenhut would hire retired law enforcement, and that would expedite the procedures for them. We have laid off deputies that have families, and they are in their 20s, they're in their 30s, some may be in their 40s, and they have lifetime things that they have to, lifetime obligations they have to take care of. And what we're looking at doing here, what the sheriff's looking at doing, is giving retirees who already have the best pensions we've ever heard of, at the youngest age we've ever heard of, the equivalent of cash jobs, while people that have families to raise get their unemployment check every 2 weeks. It's not anything that's, I mean, is it legal? Yes. Is it ethical? Is it moral? I don't know. That's where I start to question it a little bit.
Okay.
And then I'll just end it with that.
Thank you. And just it's noted, your comments, your number was 19, correct? That the Wackenhut contract could bring back 19 laid off deputies. Am I correct in that number?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, let's get the Sheriff's Department. Supervisor Weishen, you had questions for the Sheriff's Department, Inspector Schmidt. Did you understand Supervisor Weishen's question?
Madam Chair, Supervisors, two comments, and then I will ask him to rephrase his question to make sure I properly answer it.
I can just answer my question. We're not here to hear his commentary. He's here to answer our questions.
All right. Inspector Schmidt, I'll give you an opportunity to make your comments, but let's finish with Supervisor Weishen. Did have the floor. He has a question on the floor. Supervisor Weishen, please rephrase your question so Inspector Schmidt understands it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The question is, what precipitated the decision to declare a so-called emergency that required this contract to be initiated?
All right.
Inspector
Schmidt.
Yes.
Madam Chair. Supervisor, it, as I reiterated at the beginning of my opening statements, if you will, the unfortunate layoffs of the 48 deputies is what caused this to go into effect. In fact, the sheriff is not the one, and that needs to be very clear. The sheriff is not the person who laid off the deputies. This was invoked by the county. County Human Resources is the one who sent the letters to lay off our deputies. This was not something that, of course, we wanted to happen, as is well known through the court process that we went through. So therefore, when this was pushed through by the courts, when it was pushed through by the county, it forced our hand now to try and make up some of the positions, which, of course, was allowed by the 2012 budget in the part-time bailiffs.
Well, the part-time bailiffs, the situation and the resources for that, you knew in November when we passed the budget that you would have to recruit 12 of these part-time bailiffs. Yet you took no steps prior to today to recruit those positions on an hourly basis?
Okay. And, Madam Chair, Supervisor, the issue is it's not really 12 part-time bailiffs. It actually goes to 25 part-time bailiffs, if indeed that's as many as we would bring in. So therefore, no, there was literally no reason for it at that time, because with all of the litigation that was taking place over what potentially, how many were literally going to be laid off? It started at 61, then it went to a number in the 50s, then it went to, literally, it almost appeared it was going to go down to zero, and then litigation kicked in again, and now the end results, which just took place, was the 48 deputies that were unfortunately laid off.
But you somehow could have the time to manage to contact Wackenhut and craft some kind of emergency contract? And when did those negotiations start?
Madam Chair, Supervisor, the exact timing, I would say within the last 30 days, less than that. I don't know the specific timing.
So we had 30 days to contact a private contractor, but we didn't have 30 days to contact our human resources department and provide some relief for the courts if a problem exists. Like I said, I have yet to hear the chief judge or anyone from the court say that there was a safety issue in the courts. And what I'd like to just state for my colleagues too, these positions are county positions. To contract out, this is a backdoor privatization of these hourly bailiffs' positions. This was a strategy that was put in place literally 6 months ago to have these hourly positions created. Yet nobody seems to have been able to have the time or the effort to follow through with that plan for the last 6 months. So this isn't a done deal. As I said, he might be able to enter into a contract, but he doesn't have the money to pay for it. And there's a fund transfer that needs to take place. So, you know, go ahead and write all the contracts you want, but unless Mr. Clark there has a printing press in his basement, we're not paying for it. So, you know, that fund transfer has to take place. That's the one thing we do have, is the power of the purse here. And if we don't want to spend money on that, don't be entering into contracts. Plus, your own statement here that you plan on going out for RFP for this process would take 2 to 3 months. I want to hear from Ms. Mitchell here to find out why we somehow can't hire 12 or 25 hourly bailiffs to help satisfy the situation that would be county employees, under our human resources process within the next 2 to 3 months. There's absolutely no reason to enter into a contract with a private entity here. So, Mr. Chairman, I wish we could call Ms. Mitchell here. She responded to our request.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Weishaupt, since we both came to the board at the same time, and you suggested that I walk down there, or that I get Director Mitchell, or walk down there to get Director Mitchell and Ms. McKnight of Human Resources, so that they could come forward and answer any questions that committee members may have. If you would, please come forward. Supervisor Weishaupt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for coming at such short notice. I thought it would be only fair, since there was many accusations made about human resources, that you would have an opportunity to respond about filling positions for these hourly bailiff positions. Could you just give us a quick response on how long you believe it would take to fill these positions?
Well, I'll respond to that. Well, the job is ready to, and it's ready for recruitment, but we were told to hold it. That the sheriff department was considering, you know, subcontracting those jobs out. Why, I don't know. But if we open up a recruitment and we do it like for promotional only, so that, well, we wouldn't have to do it. We would have to open it because of the fact that those employees are not considered employees, so they wouldn't be able to apply for that job promotionally. We would have to open up that job as original so that people could apply. And which, once we open it up, it's open up to everybody. So it'll take us a while to filter through it. So it would probably take us probably a couple weeks to sort it out. And then based on the sheriff's process, then it's the ball is in their court. How long it take them to interview? If they decide to send all these people through another background check, it would probably take another 30 days on their part.
Okay. Who told you to hold off on the process?
Their HR person.
Well, just to be clear, I'm not quite sure.
Marlo Knox.
Well, not that, but the fact is I don't think you work for the sheriff's department, and that you know, you should take your direction from the director and the county exec, I think, is ultimately the one who decides and gives direction in the county board on whether or not you know, we should be recruiting and filling positions.
Well, I think in general I will acknowledge that there is concern about the length of time it takes at the county to hire positions. However, it really just takes a plan and some communication about what needs to be filled and when, and then we execute on it. I was not made aware that this was coming forward and needed to be filled urgently, but certainly I don't understand why it's something that would need to go on and on. It's something that we could execute on in a fair amount of time, I believe.
So your fair amount of time is you feel that you could recruit the or fulfill your responsibilities at Human Resources within the next 2 to 3 months?
Absolutely.
Or shorter time period?
Yeah, it could be shorter, you know, but the part, once it leaves our hand, it's up to that department to set up and schedule the interviews, and we don't have any control of that part of the process.
Well, thank you, like I said, for coming on such short notice, and I think you did enlighten us on a few things. And I think it just, as Supervisor Broderick pointed out earlier, that the sheriff does not like to appear, because you see how he's manufactured this phony crisis that we have here in order to, you know, privatize law enforcement positions. And I think there really, you know, needs to be a hard look at that. And maybe some of our media folks that are here, maybe they should look at who donates to Sheriff Clark's campaign, and maybe you'll see a correlation. But that's just speculation on my part. Don't mean to be too insistent, but
not at all.
I want to say thank you for coming down, and I appreciate you answering my question.
Any further questions of Ms. Mitchell or Ms. McKnight? Supervisor Biddle.
I appreciate you shedding light to the situation, because it was very confusing why this had to be such a long, drawn-out process, when I know that things could be done in a more expedient fashion than what they were suggesting. So
thank you
for coming down and making time to talk to us.
You're welcome. If any leader is feeling that way, I definitely want to hear about it so we can correct it immediately.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, you recognize me.
Yes. Thank you very much.
We heard from speakers today their analysis of some of the numbers, but I'm interested in hearing from the Sheriff's Department and Mr. Freeby in specific, who I know is prepared to answer the question about some of the analysis. I think that we represented facts in a letter as well as testimony of an interpretation of full allocation of a budget. I'm wondering if Mr. Freeby was prepared to give a little bit of the financial background and strategy behind their side as the counter argument to the decision that's being proposed here today, Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Again, I would start with the calculations of the cost and that this could somehow refund 19 laid off deputies. Using the numbers that Mr. Gettemer provided, I will not dispute that. I believe the numbers he received were correct. The annual cost of the deputy is slightly over $84,000 a year. That comes out to an hourly rate of about $42 an hour. The contract we have proposed with G4S is an hourly rate of $26.68 an hour. So if he has some distortion on how that pays for 19 deputies, somehow he's not understanding how many hours are involved. The hourly rate for a deputy is $42 an hour. The hourly rate we pay under this contract is $26.68. As far as the issue of why we ended up where we did, I'll accept responsibility for the plan. I was the one who made the decision that we should not attempt to fill the hourly bailiffs in January because there were potential layoffs. If we filled them in January, there would have been other people and there'd be no slots available for the laid off people. What I have advised the sheriff to do now that we have the layoffs is first try to place those laid-off deputies in vacant correction officer slots, full-time positions with benefits. Once that is done, we go to G4S and say, hire as many of the laid-off deputies as you can. You can do it faster than we can through human resources, and they get paid the rates that way. If that all failed, we'd look at the next round if there's anyone left to hire. But it was my recommendation to the sheriff, don't fill those hourly bailiffs in January. We need to hold that in reserve for potential laid-off deputies. The entire budget that was adopted didn't simply reduce the number of deputies. It was always replace them with something else. Get rid of them in the jail, replace them with correction officers, full-time correction officer positions. So that's what we are targeting first. Bring back as many of the laid-off deputies into the full-time correction officer slots, and then we'll reassess where we are. And then, because we can do G4S faster than we can work through the county system, G4S, hire these laid-off deputies. It wasn't any scheme to punish the deputies. It was my plan to target the deputies. As the Director of Human Resources mentioned, once they're laid off, we can't do an exam just for them. It's open to everyone. By doing things with G4S, we had more control. Target this group of people to hire, something we can't do by going through human resources. So I'm really appalled by the comments from the supervisors that some nefarious scheme to punish the deputies. We didn't want to lay them off. You sued us, saying you're not laying them off fast enough. And the reason we were trying to delay this, because it always is replace them with something else. If you don't give us time to replace them, we have an emergency. That's the reason we ended up where we did.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate the opportunity to ask the question and the response from the person responsible. Appreciate it.
Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Preby, does your response include the use of captains as correctional officers?
No, sir. That's a different issue.
It is a different issue. But it demonstrates an attitude, I think, that underlines both these issues. Now, beyond that, I'd like to comment on the idea of the fiscal emergency as a tactic and as a device. We've seen this used before, and I think the sheriff carefully observed our former county executive's behavior in declaring a fiscal emergency in order to wrest from us, the people's representatives, budgetary controls, which he did with some effect. Unfortunately for him, and unfortunately for us, this wasn't pointed out as clearly as it might have been. At the end of the fiscal year, rather than showing a deficit, the county executive showed a surplus under this fiscal emergency, and it wasn't due to the actions he had taken. It was due to the fact that he was essentially exposed for having committed a fraud upon the people. So I listened to all of these explanations, and at the base of this, we all understand a political game is going on here. And this is a response on the part of the sheriff to moves by the county executive and the county board. As Supervisor Weishaupt put forth earlier, we have the purse strings. So if we want to play hardball, guys, get the bats.
Thank you, Supervisor. We had this item before us, and
Mr. Chairman, here's you have a motion to receive and place on file.
Oh, okay. Motion to receive and place on file. So it's my understanding, and I went to Human Resources to see if I could get somebody. It's my understanding, I've just heard, and I don't know if this was stated earlier, but Mr. Preby, you're indicating that for those people who have been hired under this emergency situation, they are former deputies?
I haven't seen the list. We have given the names to G4S and encouraged them make offers to these individuals.
Well, who's in place now? Are those?
The contact hasn't begun yet. We haven't. We don't have anyone from Wackenhut yet.
Okay, so these courts are not covered.
They are covered, with deputies being pulled from other areas, which causes a residual overtime in other areas, while they're being staffed on overtime.
Okay, thank you, sir. I just want to understand what's going on. Okay, thank you very much. There's a motion to receive.
Mr. Chairman, I just note that Mr. Bowe is here. I didn't know if he had any comments on this I'm still intrigued by the number 19 that we received, and I don't know.
Supervisor, if you'd like him to come up. Mr. Bowe?
Or perhaps Mr. Bowe could address the issue of the requirement that the sheriff negotiate with the union, the deputies union, regarding part-time issues as well. That was raised.
Supervisor Jersey, you have the floor.
Thank you. Mr. Grady is trying to be...
What? Excuse me.
Yep.
Supervisor. Mr. Grady?
Thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to touch on that topic briefly. In terms of the process, anytime the county creates a new position, they have to go through the process of creating the minimum qualifications for the position, assigning a pay range for the position, determining what type of person we're looking for. That's the human resource function that's been discussed here. I caution us to get too far ahead of ourselves with respect to collective bargaining. I don't know, as I sit here, what the minimum qualifications for this bailiff hourly position are. If it looks like a deputy sheriff with law enforcement standards, bureau, accreditation, certification, it's the kind of position that might be in the deputy sheriff's mind. On the other hand, if it's not that type of position in terms of qualifications, it might look more like a correctional officer, and it might be an asset. And so I don't know where that's going, and that would affect any recall rights under the deputy sheriff's contract. And I have no idea as I sit here today, so I just think you have to be careful about getting too far.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Grady. And Mr. Bow wasn't here to hear the comments. So perhaps Mr. Bow could just tell us what is required with regard to the deputy's contract when part-timers are hired. Could we just get the information?
Fred Ball from the Department of Labor Relations. When a part-time employee is hired, it would depend upon what position he is hired into. If he's hired into a deputy sheriff position, he becomes part of the DSA bargaining unit, and if some action happens down the road requiring seniority or things like that, his part-time status would be how it is calculated. But the fact that he's part-time does not preclude him from being part of the bargaining unit. It's the position that he holds, not the individual. If the position is a deputy sheriff, paren part-time, or seasonal, or whatever, it is still in the bargaining unit.
And just to be really basic here, Mr. Bout, as I understand it, Act 10 exempted the deputies' union from the removal of unions representing employees at the level without having their union certified. I mean, basically, they took deputies, the sheriff deputies and the firefighters, out of Act 10 and preserve their unions. Is that basically
correct, except for some other further action where they involving health insurance, but that's not really related to this subject.
And this came directly from our state legislator and the governor's office, and it is up to the sheriff to deal with these unions. That comes right from state law.
At this point in time.
Thank you. That's sufficient. I don't have anything further, and I won't have any more comments.
Any other committee members have a question or comment to Mr. Bell? Thank you for your time. We have a motion to receive and place on file. Any further discussion? Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
On the motion to receive and place on file, Supervisors Jurczyk?
Aye.
Wyshon?
Aye.
Cesars?
Aye.
Broderick?
Aye.
Biddle?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
6 ayes, 0 noes. The item is received and placed on file.
Was withdrawn, so we are now on items 12 and 13. Supervisor Wyshon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And it sounds like to make a motion to move approval and take together for items 12 and 13.
Would anyone like separate action?
On either 12 or 13, go through.